I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're joined by a guy, local guy, good hitter, good player, great personality, Jersey kid locally, and you see him on the tube all the time. We were just talking shop. As soon as he walked in, he lit up the whole room, Mark DeRosa. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
No, here's what happened. Oh, as soon as he walked in, BT's asking him how to hit. That's what's going on.
Well, so where do you load?
I love it.
Where do you cock and load? I'm like, oh, I promise
I didn't say cock and load. That I can promise
you. Oh, sorry, I thought you said
that. That was not said.
No, jumping off that, I didn't learn how to truly hit, like understand walking to the plate and saying I can compete until I was 30 years old.
Really?
No doubt.
Well, okay, so how did you learn?
30?
What was the final threshold?
Chipper Jones was the one who truly like walked me through what he was thinking and what good hitters should be thinking. And then when I went over to Texas, I got with this guy, Rudy Jaramillo, who was just a hitting coach to the Stars at the time. And he taught me how to load.
Really? And then, see, it's not a dumb question, Okada.
And then I called Chipper. I said, all that stuff you used to tell me, now it's starting to make sense.
But I got a question. So you were a star at Bergen, you know, at UPenn. Great school.
New Jersey Hall of Fame, right?
There we go.
Yeah, the other night.
Just got in. There you go.
You and Greg Olson, right?
Yeah.
Not the pitcher, the tight end.
I appreciate it. I think a lot of the mental toughness and success rides off stuff you did in high school.
Oh, there's no doubt. But how do you, like, it surprises me. I know it's all relative. Like, you were really good, Chipper Jones all time. So I get it. I can see why he might see the game a little differently than you do and process things a little differently. And you can learn from him, even though he's a peer. But how do you get to the age of 30, play professional baseball, and not know something that, with all due respect, seems fairly basic?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was a pitcher, so he taught me how to pitch in high school. He'd stand behind the fence and call all my games. You know, kind of looked over the top of the catcher, and my dad was giving me signs behind a tree. So we didn't really get – I just competed in the box. I was never the best hitter on my high school team. I was never the best hitter on my college team. And even in the minors, I just fought to add value. I thought I was a really good defender. I could move around the diamond. Felt like I was a great teammate. I knew what I didn't know.
I kept fighting for it. Yeah, man.
Picking the brains of the great players. And then finally, like, when I understood the whys – of everything happening in the box and how to compete and how to set up guys, it was it started to become fun.
We're talking with Mark DeRosa, co-host of MLB Central, weekdays at 9 a.m. right here in these beautiful studios here. We're sitting in MLB Park, which is just an incredible venue, getting a head start here on opening day, Mark. Tomorrow, opening day, we've been focusing on Mets and Yankees. I know you think highly of the New York Mets. A team may be flying under the radar a little bit. Give me your thoughts from Mets at what you've seen at their camp in the spring training.
Yeah, when you get boots on the ground, you start to fall in love with teams. The thing, number one, I think Carlos Mendoza lights up a room. All right? in order for David Stearns to come over and hire the Yankees bench coach to be his manager, I thought was kind of like, well, how does this go over in the New York media? And I hope people give Carlos a chance. Being around him, he's a stud. He really is. You can tell that he's got his ducks in a row over there. And one of my favorite managers that I ever played for was my last year in 2013 was John Gibbons up in Toronto.
Oh, he's a nutball. Yeah, he must have been great to play
for. He's exactly what Mendoza needs. He's not gonna. He's gonna tap him on the shoulder and go, "Hey, you're about to really screw this up."
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? And that's exactly what you need. When I was doing that WBC, I had my boy Brian McCann.
Yeah.
You need a guy behind you that'll take a bullet for you, and he would come up. He'd be like, "Door number two, anything but what I'm currently watching." And I loved it. You trust it. So Gibby's not gonna let Mendoza fail.
Wow.
Polar Bear's playing for a monster contract. I had him with Team USA. He's a beast. So he's going to go, well, I like this. I like their lineup. Ultimately, can Severino stay healthy? Can Quintana stay healthy? Can Senga stay healthy? You can imagine in a tough division, they should finish third with ease and hopefully squeeze into a wild card.
Well, you know, Pete's going to bang 40. Hopefully McNeil gets back to, you know, being a foul pole to foul pole hitter. I think he will. I don't know if he's going to hit 330 again, but he should be in that 295, 305. He's a pure hitter. Lindor's a stud. The guy that's really interesting to me, like Volpe for the Yankees in year two. Year two for Alvarez, like, when he hits his apex in 3, 4, 5 years, I know you do, but is he going to be a high average guy with a ton of pop or a lower average guy with a ton of pop? Like, what is he ultimately?
You know, when I watch him take BP, these are big words, but, like, he gives me Mike Trout vibes. I'm not saying he's Mike Trout, but there's very few guys in the league that, like, can let the ball travel so deep and just looks like their core is exploding on the baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
And Francisco Alvarez is one of those guys. What I didn't know is what an infectious personality and how hard he's working behind the dish with this pitching staff. He did an interview with us, no translator, wanted to do it full English, and I know that's not his first language. I know he's grinding to figure that out. So he kind of endeared himself to me. I'm all about what he's bringing to the table right now. He's got light tower power. He seems to love the New York spotlight. So, yeah, I root for the Mets.
Did you grow up a Met fan?
No, I didn't.
Yankee fan?
Yankee fan in the 80s, and they were getting killed, but I was a big Don Mattingly guy.
Give me some.
Here we go.
It would have been Stan Musial if he doesn't hurt his back. That's who Mattingly was. Stan Musial before the back injury.
I'm with you. I still think he should be in the Hall of Fame, and he was the one guy I walked up to in green flight at the end of my career. I said, Donnie, I've stayed away. I need one pick before
that's
it up. So that was the thing with me. But working at the network, I didn't realize how tortured Mets fans like think on a day-to-day basis.
They
just wait for the negative.
Yep.
And it usually happens, which I hate. But what I'm saying is I want good things for that organization.
You interviewed for the Mets job. We're talking with Mark DeRosa here at MLB Network, co-host of MLB Central weekdays at 9 a.m. You interviewed for the Mets job a few years back. Where are you at as far as wanting to get back in the game? What happened there? It was interesting in the way that it turned out. I think they went in a different direction that was sort of negative for the Mets.
I lost out to Mickey Callaway. How good did I interview
I didn't
want
to say it, Mark.
No,
That's like losing out to Phil Jackson as an executive with the Knicks. That's not a good race.
You know, Sandy Alderson was great. They flew into Atlanta. I met them in just a hotel connected to Atlanta Hartsfield Airport, and Sandy just pulled out a notepad and just started ripping through questions. I mean, barely stuck his head up to take a breath.
And that was your first ever interview for a manager?
Yeah, okay. Pretty Oof. Much. And I was just kind of rattling things off. And at the end, we talked for a while, and ultimately what he said to me was very profound. He said, at no point in this 4.5-5 hour interview did you say you're dying to be the Mets manager. Like, it's what you were put on this earth to do. And I know you're kind of interviewing us as much as we're interviewing you, but that's not what I want from my skipper coming in. I want a guy who can't sleep another night without wanting to manage the Mets. And he wasn't wrong. At that point in my life, I was not there.
And by the way, you could probably respect that.
No,
honestly,
it was good. I just asked him. I was like,
grind.
How do me and Mickey walk into a room and you pick him?
Wow.
Did you ask him that? After the fact.
After the fact.
And
that's what he said.
Oh, was the answer after the fact.
Yeah. At no point did I feel like you really were dying to do this.
Wow.
Which I thought was very, very good. Now, and I'll use that. And AJ Hinch has told me that. Aaron Boone's told me that. Alex Cora, they said, dude, if you go into this, you got to shut him down like right at jump and say, I'm not leaving until.
So where's your passion for that now?
My passion's for doing the TV.
So
stuff,
you don't want
right?
to manage. Okay, that's okay.
I don't want to say. I don't want to say. I have two young. My daughter's a sophomore in college at Auburn. I still live in Atlanta. I get a chance to go down and hang out with her and see some football games. My son is 14. He's in eighth grade. I'm kind of riding and dying with his travel team now. So yeah. I kind of get the best of both worlds. Certainly managing Team USA was just an opportunity of a lifetime, and I love being in the fight. But if you go back, it's all in.
Yeah, your whole life's
all in. Sure. Interesting that you say that, all in, because we had a discussion of what that meant as far as the Yankees all season.
Yeah, a little Yankee stuff here. Mark DeRosa, BTN Sound on the Fan. Mark, local kid, and obviously fantastic on TV here, MLB Network. Eventually, he's going to be a manager if he wants to. He learned a big lesson there. All right, so there's a lot of ways to go with the Yankees. I mean, some is off. Of course, if Judge stays healthy, he's going to mash. Stoto stays healthy, he's going to mash. To me, Volpe, without getting too technical, now, without knowing what he was doing or knowing the league, he stole 20-plus bags, hit 20-plus bombs, won the gold glove. Okay. They flattened out a swing. Again, not getting too technical, but that should help him with the high fastball, lay off the stuff outside. Can he jump 30, 40, 50 points with the app? What's a realistic jump for Volpe? Because if Volpe becomes what I think he could, and he's the leadoff hitter, 1, 2,
ooh, you
three.
You like him up there.
He's got to earn it. Not yet. If he does, then 1, 2, and 3 is on lock for the Yankees.
Yeah. Certainly, there was a hole in his swing that you could get up there and elevate the heater. But there's a lot of guys in the league that you seem to be able to do that. His launch angle, which I don't truly buy into, was one of the biggest in the league. I think second in the league. So I do think it promotes him having the power to the opposite field that he's been able to have. But I'm a Volpe guy, man. He's a fighter from Jersey, makes the routine play, seems to love the moment, playing in the big leagues for the Yankees, putting the pinstripes on. I don't think that's, you know, necessarily an easy thing to do. And to go out and, like you said, steal 20 and drop 20 tanks in a season where no one wanted to ride to the ballpark after about July.
And nobody really was doing anything behind him. So it's not
like he kept it together.
Either.
So I'm bullish on the Yankees this year.
Me too.
You think they went all in this whole season? They said all in.
I obviously don't think they went all in this offseason. But I do think, hey, Carlos Rodon, it's time for you to go.
But what happened last year was time for him to go.
He was hurt. And he was off.
I get you, but I got to give him a pass one time, and he's got to go. Stroman, put your money where your mouth is. You got to go. You got to cover for Garrett until he comes back. I think Garrett comes back in 2 months. I don't think in the whole conspiracy theory. I think this guy, if he's hurt, God, every pitcher should run to get surgery because he has perfect mechanics, the perfect body, the perfect fastball, like everything he does. I'd be shocked if it was something bigger than 2 months, but time for Nestor to go. I like the offense. I don't know, man. I think it's outhouse or castle for this team.
That's what Sal was saying.
It's not going to be middle of the road.
See, and that's part of my issue, Mark, with the Yankees. We're talking Mark DeRosa here at MLB Network, co-host at MLB Central. I got my gum on my mouth. It just split in two. I got to spit this gum out. We got a garbage right here. The ceiling for the Yankees could be World Series team, but the floor...
Oh, is everyone's fired.
Could be out of the play. Yes, well, and that to me...
How many chances are we going to get here, let's be honest.
For a year where they're going all in and trying to be a World Series team, I'd want to limit the question marks and kind of limit the space between the ceiling and the floor for this team. Penthouse or outhouse or castle or outhouse, that to me is a problem going in.
I think it's going to be a tough ask on Boone, right? But that's where I always feel... I go back to Bobby Cox a lot because it's the first team I came up with and a lot of Hall of Famers in that room. And he used to walk in right at that 40 game mark if we weren't playing well. And he used to say, the names on the back of the jersey say we're better than this. Time to go. Like, I'm only gonna let you mess around so long.
And you got Leo chomping gum right next to him.
I know the Yanks don't have their last names on the back, but it is on them.
Yep.
Like, Boone can only
do so. Does anybody have their names
much
on the back anymore? Because I can't even see them. Can we say that here?
That's another story. The Royals The Royals petition for the big block.
Can we get
letter.
Some real uniforms here at DeRosa?
Can't really see the names on the back anymore. Anyway,
we could get into that off the air if you want. I have some answers on that.
Okay.
But I'm kind of bullish on the Yankees. Like, Rizzo was really dinged up last year. I had a chance to sit and talk with him at the end of the season, and he was foggy, man. So I felt like maybe he should have sat down. Had Judge not gotten hurt,
he probably
Rizzo would have tapped out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he felt obligated to. It's Stanton.
Well,
I think he kind of gets a little bit of a raw deal. He's really been
raw deal. He hit 190 last year.
I get it, but
raw deal. Dwight Gooden hit 230 as a pitcher. Raw deal.
I'm not saying raw deal. I'd like to see him hustle a little bit.
You think?
Hey,
the 4th percentile in base burst isn't good enough for you.
I also remember a guy in the postseason that stood up and hit some monster homers.
He did better than Judge so far in the postseason. So, do you think, it's funny, Sal doesn't get into the prospects as much as I do until they're really either knocking on the door or at the major league level. Spencer Jones, to me, I want to give you a configuration. I floated this on the air the other day. Mark DeRosa with us, by the way, here on the Fan, BT and Sal. So you got to resign Soto. That's clear. I can envision an outfield, whether it's left or right, but Soto, Dominguez, and Spencer Jones and Judge at first base.
Ooh,
to preserve his body. You don't think that that's even possibly plausible? I mean, he's not going to be playing center field for a couple. You know, he gets hurt. 6'8", can catch a ground ball.
It's like the whole, I'm in on the Spencer Jones thing. I'm always big on, like, when you're drafting someone, like, who do you want in first round? Do you want a Spencer Jones or Anthony Volpe? I kind of know what Volpe's going to be. Mm-hmm. I hope he exceeds that. Spencer Jones has a chance to win MVPs and do stuff that Aaron Judge is doing.
That's what
I'm
saying.
You take chances on that pillar of a franchise there. I think it's a big ask for Judge to play center field this year. I really do. I know he could do it with ease, but I kind of equate it to what they're trying to do in L.A. with Mookie Betts. I know he could play shortstop with ease, but, man, I'm paying you to bang. I'm not paying you to play premium defense. I would ultimately like to see Judge back in right field.
Mm-hmm.
And Soto in left, and then Dominguez.
Or at least Judge in a corner. I mean, they may have him in left field. The majority.
And then we'll trade Spencer Jones for a monster starter.
See, I don't want to trade
him. See? Now you're talking my language, Mark. That's right.
I'm not trading him.
All right. Give us a prediction here for both the Mets and Yankees where they end up at the end of the year.
How many wins? Each team.
Or postseason, whatever.
All right, postseason-wise, I have the Yanks going to the ALCS.
There you go.
And losing to who?
Baltimore.
Okay. I'll take it. What do you got for the Mets?
Mets.
I have the Mets finishing third, and I'm not going to put them in the postseason.
Oh,
I just
think
that,
you
can't put that rotation
in
the postseason. I mean, I love
Luis
Severino.
Those teams are definitively better. As we look up at the scoreboard here and right with the standings, which is just a beautiful sight, which of those teams are significantly better than the Mets for the sixth and final spot in the postseason?
Okay, I think I think the National League West gets three teams in.
Giants?
Giants first.
I like the Giants.
They're 1-2 combo to start on the
Mets.
If the Mets had the Giants rotation,
they'd be 90 plus.
All right, so three in the West, one in the Central, and you're going Braves and Phillies.
Braves and Phillies.
Yep.
All right.
No question. And Braves will have to prove to me that they can knock off the Phillies in the postseason.
Well, now I know why Mickey Callaway beat you out.
That was great.
Thanks,
hey, Mark. This was awesome. But we're fans. You do a great job. And you know why? You come across as an authentic guy because you're one of us from here.
Yep.
The lights go on. You don't change who you are. Really, just you do a fantastic job here at the network. And a great conversation. Thanks for coming
out,
buddy.
I appreciate it.
Check
Thanks
him
for
out.
Having me.
Mark DeRosa, co-host of MLB Central, weekdays at 9 a.m. with Robert Flores and Lauren Shahadi. And, of course, congratulations on getting inducted in the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.